Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Audio Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid, Rob
Margaret, Eddie Fiend coming out. You stick on, you stick that big red light bulb on for a Fiend.
And his partner, Fader Top End of Stevenson.
Honky Tonk Man's going to take the bump for this. He's going to bump for it. I'ma take the bump for you. I'ma take the bump for you.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. It's a wrestling podcast. My name's Rab Florence on this wrestling podcast, and also joining me on this wrestling podcast is the great man himself, the co-host, the man who regales us with all his tales, his stories, the man that keeps the show afloat. He is one Mr. G-R-A-D-O himself, Grado. There he is.
Yourself.
There he is. How are you doing, Grado? You all right?
Listen, I'm just, I'm all right, mate. I've just been watching a lot of wrestling documentaries, I'm out of breath just sitting here. That's bad, isn't it?
Have you been watching The Dark Side of the Ring?
Oh, mate, incredible stuff. I won the One Heart One this week. Have you seen it?
I haven't watched it. I've not watched any of them.
The Own Heart One is really emotional, mate. It's, oh, man, it's just so good. I don't want to spoil it for MD, but, like, there's just so many bits, and you think this guy's just a totally nice guy. He just wanted to wrestle for a couple of years. Make a fucking a bit of money and retirees Wayne's, and it's just, and what's surprising is one of his Wayne's is now a lawyer.
Mm.
So the way he talks, he's a smart boy. He's a really, really intelligent guy. And I think the whole, you know, Martha and the two Wayne's, they totally resent WWE, and they can explain why, man. It's fucking some of the stuff, you know, WWE ended up zooming. Try to sue Martha during, it's just mental and wee stuff. I don't want to spoil it, but so Jim Cornette basically says, Jim Cornette basically says that apparently when Owen was falling for the ceiling, he was shouting, look out, because he didn't want to hurt MD.
Landing anybody, hurt anybody.
And that is probably one of the most, when he says that, it's so powerful the way he tells the story, it just kind of shows the kind of guy he was. But this Dark Side of the Ring series has been brilliant this time around with Jericho narrating it, and the people that have been on it. I loved the New Jack episode. Loved the Brawl for All episode. Brilliant. If ninnies have seen this Dark Side of the Ring series, have you seen any of them, Rab?
I've not seen any.
Why not?
Well, I don't know if I want to know what the Dark Side of the Ring is like. I like the bright side of the ring. You know what I mean? I like the you know, the funny men come out and Gobbledygooker comes out and does a dance, and then Mean Gene does, he's dancing about and stuff. And that's the bright side of the ring. And maybe I'll go to Vice and I'll pitch that documentary, just a documentary about, like, Brock Lesnar dancing about with the wee mariachi band and stuff, shaking his wee maracas. Just, you know, just getting into the ins and outs of that.
Quick story about a mariachi band. Mm-hmm. I was wrestling in Mexico City. For TNA, of course. I was there a few times. And basically, I wrestled and went straight back to the airport to get a flight to New Orleans. And when I got to New Orleans, my kind of shoot pals WhatsApp group had all been sharing this article that there had been a terrorist attack in Mexico City. And when I typed in and looked it up and done my Google Maps, it was literally half a mile from where I was wrestling. One of the drug cartel gangs had dressed up as a mariachi band. Is that mariachi band?
Mariachi band.
Mariachi band. And when the gang that they were feuding with walked through the centre, because obviously the or whatever they're playing.
Yep.
When they walked by, they pulled the guns out and shot eight folk.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
What are you laughing at, John? I don't find that funny at all.
Sorry, I'm just, I'm at the dark side of the ring with you, Nick Grado.
Dark side in a mariachi.
The rise and fall, what do you think? What would they call me?
The rise beyond the rise of the descent of the dark fall of Grado.
I mean, I can get my dark side of the ring out the now and show you it.
Fucking brown side of the ring. I've not been doing anything this week. I have just been hanging out, doing a bit of writing, doing a bit of pottering about in the garden, playing with the wains, just being a dad in general. So let's see what's been happening with the punters out there. Let's see what they've been up to. First of all, we've got to say a big thanks to Kyle Customs on Twitter, who made a Rab Florence wrestling figure. Now, I saw this thing. Let me tell you. You know, if you watch a video version of this on Patreon, you'll be able to see a picture of it now, right? If you watch the video version of it. But let me just describe it to you. It's me and my tiger mask that I've had for many, many years, wearing a feather boa that belongs to my fiancée. And it's just a fantastic... Imagine having the talent to be able to make gay wrestling figures like that. Grado, there's one coming for you. Don't worry.
Is there? What's he going to base it on? It's Trevor Nelson. No, Trevor Nelson. What did you call Trevor that was in the... Trevor Murdoch.
All right. Oh, like what is going to be the base for the figure?
Aye.
Oh, I don't know. We need to find that out. That's interesting.
Mark Henry, no.
But thanks to him. Great. One on the way for you. And if listen, anybody out there wants a custom wrestling figure for this guy, right? Get him on Twitter or Instagram at Kyle Customs 2018. Now that is Kyle with a K, KUSTOMS 2018. And he'll maybe make a wrestling figure if he can get him a wee commission down his way, because the guy knows what he's doing, man.
He knows what he's doing with
customising the toys. Thanks to Martin McGade, by the way, who simply posted a picture of chocolate fingers. If the Grado's revelation last week that he ate his own shite and pretended it was chocolate. Now, I had to tell Jen that story. Right? Jen doesn't listen. I'm going to be honest.
Why did you
need
to tell her?
I'm going to be honest. Jen doesn't listen to the podcast, right? She's very, very supportive of my work and all that, right? But this is a step too far, right? Listen to this. However, I have to tell you this fucking story about Grado, by the way, about eating his own shite. I had to tell it. You know what I mean? I kind of feel like it's probably been making its way across the country. Grado, shitomania is running wild.
Totally forgot I tell folk about that. That was with Callum, and he said, "Is that what's that on your finger?" And I went, licked it, and it was chocolate. Came it was chocolate. Aye, that's a sad day for the Steve of the household, and I done that, and managed to get worms and have to go to the doctors and get treatment for it. But a sad day, sad night for the Stevelies.
It's a great story. The chat for the last few weeks has been celebrity face and heel turns. Off the back of Piers Morgan apparently turning face. I don't believe it. During coronavirus crisis times. We've got a couple more though. Richard Young got in touch and says that Tim Martin from Weatherspoons started off as an uber babyface, offering us all cheap booze and food and the chance for all elements of life to mix with the world's greatest winos, then went healing us all in his support of Brexit and 0-hour contracts for his staff, right? Then he turned face again, Richard says, when the Weatherspoons app was created, meaning folk could go on social media and get their mates to buy them free booze and sachets of mustard and all that, right, for the house. And then he turned heel again when he announced his staff should look for new jobs during lockdown. Now, I don't agree. I think Tim Martin was always a heel. See that app, Grado?
Aye.
That's the app where you would see, sometimes you see lassies and stuff like that on Twitter going, we're at table 14 and Weatherspoons and Hangman if anybody wants to buy a drink, and people can like use the app to buy people drinks online.
I mean, I knew that the one in Blackpool had that because my father's never out the one in Blackpool, the Weatherspoons in Blackpool. And I remember seeing an app that you could, you know, order your breakfast and add a sausage and take away a fucking hash brown and all this carry on, but I didn't ken it was as thingy as that.
Could you be wrestling in Mexico, right? Let's say you're wrestling Mexico and your dad's in Weatherspoons in Blackpool. Could you stop in the middle of a match in Mexico? I don't know if the app could do this, but it'd be amazing if it could. And you're in the middle of a match in Mexico, and then you could pull out your phone and go in the app and send your dad a sausage to his table in Blackpool at Weatherspoons. Is that what that would let you do?
I mean, it seems so. As I say, but, you know, one of the rules in TNA was, you know, you can't take your phone out to the ring, way. Just like
no sending sausages.
Just like the staff and Weatherspoon's probably can't use their phone.
And the staff and Weatherspoon probably can't wrestle matches in the middle of trying to serve the sausages. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm moving on. Stuart Brody, can he believe that we haven't mentioned Bill Cosby? Bill Cosby was a big baby face in the 80s.
Aye. What did he do?
Lots of bad things, Kato. Another thing for a few weeks ago, we were talking about what was your favourite wrestler, what was your wrestler name and your finisher when you were a wee guy or a wee lassie. Loads of people were in touch this week about this. Now, Brent Carter says, him and his mate Michael, right, are going to be a tag team for hire just like the APA. Right? I thought of this wee guy's being a tag team for hire. Going to hire the wee fucking 10-year-old boys to go and knock fuck out this guy. Except we were called the Rent Boys.
Call it.
We'd heard it before and didn't realise the meaning. We thought it sounded like a cool team name. Mortifying when I got hold on fun it what it actually meant.
The Rent Boys. The Rent Boys. That's fucking super. It's absolutely class. That is fucking class.
I love it.
You can't top that, by the way. You can't.
No, there's any of these are going to be better than that.
Especially with the Z in
the Z on the boys.
I can just see them graffitiing their fucking math jottles and all that, writing the Rent Boys on it. Fucking, do you know what I mean?
Hey, Scott Murray says his wrestling name was White Noise and his finisher was called Whitewash. It was a modified electric chair where instead of falling backwards, I dropped my opponent on their face.
Who did he do this to?
Jardo says the Water Boy was his name, basically Carlito, but a bottle of water. Steady an apple. Finisher was the H2O. Oh, you know, it's good.
That is good. But it's funny, but because like these people sending this in, but they're doing what I can imagine folk, you know, doing their finishers to anybody. Do you know what I mean?
Aye.
Like pretending there's somebody there in the room and thumping on the flare and they're all going, what are you doing up there? You know what
using
I mean?
Pillows and that is brilliant. Chris Conway was the Paisley Love Hammer. His finisher was the Dick Splash. Liam, my name was fucking hell because I used to do stupid flips. I've stupidly high shit at heart. My mates would always say, fucking hell, why is he? Whilst I lay wounded on the deck. So he was fucking hell, Liam Wise, I'm guessing.
Fucking
high voltage says Mr. Fahrenheit was his name as he was bringing the heat, top rope splash, keeping it simple, Mr. Fahrenheit. And Leslie Ann Johnson says, no, when I was a kid, but a couple of years ago, I was joking with my daughter about what I would call myself if I was a wrestler, and we decided your ma was the perfect fit. Oh. Beautiful. Ben Hall says, him and a mate were going to be the Soccer Kids. The Soccer Kids and their music would be the sensible soccer theme. And the finishing move would be a Vinnie Jones on Gaza special. Oh, aye, the wee ball grab.
That's just, mate, and I'm just getting memories of me backyarding back in the day. We wrestled at my pal's back door up the tap end of Stevenson. In fact, it was my pal's brother's back door. He was about maybe 20 and he gave us a couple of mattresses and we called his back door the Swamp Arena, right? We had one of my pals, Alan Molson, was called the Devil and he came out to D-E-V-I-L, the Devil. Coming out, man. And I remember one time I was kidding when I was Booker T because I had a pair of white pants on. Like a pair of white bobs. Do you know what I mean? And I just think if anybody had seen that, knew me with trainers on, socks, and just my fucking white bobs rolling about with the Devil. Do you know what I mean? the Devil.
Amazing, man. Beautiful. Now, my big sister, I remember wrestling in my big sister's back garden in Broomfield Road in Burmullagh. And it was a tenement building. And so the tenement buildings were brilliant because you could have people could watch but up the close, looking at the close windies, the close and stuff like that. So you would almost feel as if you had a kind of big crowd up there. You know what I mean? Or in. And I remember you just
had watching you.
Stupid memories of like being out and wrestling and doing it all. And I remember there was a couple of lassies that I kind of fancied that were feel like a couple of. They were across, I think they were feel like Torreburn Road, which was kind of around the corner. And they came around to kind of watch and they were like hanging over the railing, watching us all. And I remember thinking, feeling fucking brilliant, man. Feeling tapped of the world with them watch me.
That's class. Like, and I think they fancy cool me.
Aye, they fancy me. I must look cool as fuck doing this. And And then I just think, no, what I must have actually looked like. You know what I mean? It's just, it's depressing.
It's fucking hilarious. One more thing as well. I remember when I first started wrestling training as well, I made a GeoCities page for my wrestling. And I was going, GeoCities.com/Brock Xavier. That was a clash between Ibrox and my favourite indie wrestler at the time, Xavier.
Oh my god, right. Brock Xavier.
And then a big X, Xavier, Brock Xavier. And it's funny because I remember going to end up wrestling in New York and fucking we went to this titty bar and Xavier was the guy in the door. How weird is
wow,
that?
Wow, that is weird.
That's crazy, isn't it? He was the guy in the door. So fucking we went in, we got a lap dance, saw the rest of it. And I thought we're all going to get it for nothing. Were we fucked because we kind of named Rock Xavier? I can. Yeah, we're getting a lap dance and all this. And one of the lap dancers goes, do you want a vodka? And I says, aye, all right. She says, I'll get you a bottle. I went, no, no, it's just a glass. It's all right. It's all right. And then I can always remember, I know, because there was me. Oh, I better not say, just in case he doesn't want to say that it was a lap dancing bar. But she came back with the vodka and a. And I remember thinking that I had a pure smelly breath and I'm trying to go, can I buy chuggy half you? Can I, the music's blaring. Can I buy chuggy half you? Can I buy chewing gum? Anyway, she went away again to maybe get us a drink and we had to fuck off, Rab, honestly. It was very intimidating. Stupid wee boys.
Well, he's had to sprint. He's had to bolt.
I would done the bill because it was just, she was going to buy his bottles of vodka.
Well, she was going to bring these them. You were paying for them.
Going to rip the fuck out of us, you know what I mean? We're two wee goons fucking in New York for the first time. Other wrestler would remain nameless just in case he's feared, but
there it is.
I don't know if that's a story worth.
Is no, it, that is a story. That is a story worth telling. You and Coco, we were. And Andy Muirhead was called Caber, and the Caber Toss was his German suplex that he tried it once, nearly killed his brother, and his whole gimmick and moveset was banned outright by his mum. That's how Seth Rollins felt when Vince McMahon banned the curb stomp that first time. And if you want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft or on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Now, every week, we like to separate the good for the bad in wrestling, the cornflakes for the shitey, crumbly bits you get in the last bowl. Right, hold on a fucking minute.
This is John's part again.
This is John's part again, and I need to step in because that's the fucking best bit of the cornflakes.
Oh, that's horrendous.
No, when you get down to that dusty stuff down the bottom, man, I like that. I like that. Oh, I do. And I'll tell you something else, mate. See, when you get a bag of Pecora, and you get to the end of the bag of Pecora, and it's all the wee crispy crackers, I call them, all the wee crispy bits, man. Or doing the bottom, I love that shit.
I like that stuff with fritters, but can I mention just before we go on for cornflakes, I've ever told you a story about speaking to Drew Galloway's dad and asking what he had for his breakfast? No?
I think you have mentioned it, but remind me though.
Basically,
because you mentioned it to Drew's brother when he was on chatting. But oh, what was that again?
We did. We touched on it. I just to remember, focus. Just always sticks out in my head when I think of Drew's father. When I asked him what he had for his breakfast, and he said, a portion of cornflakes. A portion of cornflakes.
I like it. I'm glad I heard that again. Right, what are you going to bury and what are you going to put over? You're going to put over that Dark Side of the Ring again, aren't you?
Oh, Dark Side of the Ring or Undertaker's documentary as well, man. He's a big sow. He's a big sow. He's different from what I would have imagined. You know what I mean? He's like, he can get a bit. He was watching his match back with Roman Reigns. I could see it. He was green, mate.
The wrestlers get very emotional, didn't they? Something I've noticed about wrestlers is that they tend to be very emotional. You're quite an emotional guy as well, Grado. I mean, I've seen you cry, mate. I've seen you laugh at inappropriate times. I've seen you bust out laughing about stuff. Right. I've seen it all, mate. You know what I mean?
I'm not a very emotional guy, especially after my match at Bound for Glory 2017, man. That was a fucking dark night.
What promotion was that?
Jerry. It was the shits. I don't think I've ever recovered, to be honest with you.
I'm going to...
I'm
going to put over... What am I going to put over this week in wrestling? I've not been... You know what? I've felt quite unmoved by wrestling this week. I've felt quite unmoved by it in general. What I'm going to say is I'm going to put over the fact they're doing a bit of work now to properly present Bobby Lashley as the threat that he should be. You know what I mean?
Are you still watching Raw every week now?
I'm keeping up. I'm keeping my horn in, Grado. I figure I present a wrestling podcast. I present a wrestling podcast. I think I should just keep my horn in, keep an eye on the scene. But I'll tell you what, I'll bury Jim Cornette.
No, you're not.
I'm going to bury Jim Cornette for his ridiculous comments about Becky getting pregnant and stuff like that.
What's he saying now? See, sometimes he just goes over the board.
It's just tiresome, man. He's just having a pop at her for getting pregnant when, you know, when she's in that period of her career where she should be making the money and stuff like that. And he's just, I just kind of feel, you know, he's a loser. You know what I mean? I just kind of feel like you're listening to a fucking loser.
It's funny because I made my father watch some, well, not my father, my brother watched some of Dark Side of the Ring. Mm-hmm. And I made him watch the Brawl for All one. And Vince Russo was on it with Jim Cornette. And it was funny to get somebody's take that my brother can't really be bothered with this, and he only ever, like, he's ever been to shows, obviously, because of me and whatever, right? He thinks it's a lot of shit. He's, mm-hmm. I mean, a bit cut out the documentary and saying Fight Club, he was going, I mean, you stand there in your pants in front of Wayne's. There's fucking something wrong with that. In front of Wayne's and community halls, and when he says, you put it together, you kind of go, that's a bit dodgy. But anyway, he watched it, and I said, what do you think? He went, fucking hated that Cornetto. Like, hated Cornetto, but he loved Vince Russo. He fucking loved him.
Vince Russo, you know, the one thing you can say about Vince Russo is that he has a creative mind. You know, even a lot of people focus on his time at WCW when he went in and, you know, and some crazy stuff was going on. But it was still fucking interesting to watch, you know what I mean? It was still interesting. It was still... it was still pushing the boat out in certain areas and trying stuff. I think Vince Russo has a really good mind for storytelling in a wrestling ring, you know what I mean? I've got time for Russo.
You know what? I know last week you were kind of burying Eugene, but did I tell you what happened once I come back? Me and him had a bum bag and a pole match.
Right.
Russo was on the same card and he watched the match. And when we came back, me and Dinsmore went up to Russo. Or should I say, he came to us, going like this, clapping his hand and going, I got tears in my eyes, bro. I got tears in my eyes. That was awesome. That should be on TV, bro. That should be. That's how much he loved, because it was a fucking, do you know what I mean? It was,
it's a total, you can imagine,
one bag in a pole match, right? It was full of shit. It was the skittle spot where I think it's fucking thumbtacks and he takes a bump on that. Fucking Dinsmore at one point as well says, I'm going to get colour on you. He says, but we'll go the hard way. And it's a certain kind of punch where there's a technique to it. He says, don't worry, I'll get colour on you the hard way. And I'm going, fuck it. Do you know he punched me about fucking 20 times in the same bit in my eye? The next time I just have a mismatch of big fucking black eye, no blood.
Fuck me.
Fucking nobody in that again. It was just one wee nick. He's obviously done it once. He said, douche.
Aye, aye,
douche.
Aye.
Fucking.
Can't remember this guy's heed. Why am I this guy's heed not open up?
Aye.
A fucking Scotsman's heed, that's why. Fucking, need to take a fucking samurai sword to a Scotsman's heat to get it, nice. So you get fucking colour. Anyway, Bronze Jello put over Orange Cassidy for staying safe during the pandemic by wearing a mask. You can stay safe in style, by the way. By get fuck off, John. By getting your own wrestling daft mask.
I didn't write it. He wrote that. He wrote that.
John.
Orange Cassidy.
No, Bronze Jello wrote that.
Bronze Jello wrote that. Bronchello, don't take John's side on it. Has anybody bought any masks? John, has anybody bought any masks?
I will need to check the store.
Oh, bullshit. Nobody's.
I bet you they have.
The Joe Coffee interview, Bronchello wants to put her. Big fan. Big fan of Joe. Great to hear from him. It was a very good interview. Joe's a lovely guy. Wants to bury WWE for referring to Drew Gulak as Daniel Bryan's training partner after he put him on, then no reviewing his contract.
That was a shocker.
Reviewing his contract. Chris wants to put over the Owen Hart documentary and Vice, Dark Side of the Ring.
It is a tough watch. And can I say one more thing about the Dark Side of the Ring? Kevin Dunn was getting a lot of heat on Twitter today because I don't know if you've seen a clip of JR explaining what happened. When JR goes, give me an update, he says he's dead, we're on in 10, 9, 8, 7, and everybody's calling him evil and disgusting and all that, but I think he was probably put in a very difficult position himself. He's got to direct and produce a show. What do you think, Robert? Am I being too... Do you get what I mean?
If the show is going...
He's obviously put in a terrible situation as well.
If the show is running, if a decision's been made for the show to run, then his job as director is to just run that show. And I'm sure... Listen, everybody in the back there on that night lost their friend, didn't they? In a kind of shocking turn of events. So I think you can excuse... I think, anyway, you can excuse people's actions in the immediate aftermath of something like that, because who knows how to react, you know what I mean?
I think he's getting a safe time out on the internet, because it'd be, some wrestling fans just fucking go for the score. No other fans, but...
He's always getting a bad time, isn't he? You know what I mean?
We have really good listeners, man. The stuff that they provide for this fucking show makes us a hell of a lot easier, doesn't it?
It sure does. Chris wants to bury the tragic death of poor Shad Gaspard, thoughts of his family. To right, Scott wants to put over Corbin versus McIntyre. Thought it was a really good main event match, and Corbin is the only true heel in WWE. Actually, Andy, I want to agree there. Corbin is, I'm a big fan of Corbin. I really am. I think he is, there's just something about him. He has an old school sensibility about him. And right from the minute he came in, when he was in NXT, and he was cutting about with that terrible hair and all that, you know, and he wasn't in great shape. I remember when he first came into NXT, he was kind of a bit flabby looking and all that, and a bit. But he was still, though, he just carried himself like he just didn't give a fuck about anybody liking him. He was wanting people to fucking boo him. Wanted people to, and I love that. I love seeing a guy going, I'm going to be a fucking good old fashioned heel that people want to lose. You know what I mean? I love that. And Scott wants to bury Jake the Snake again, saying that Archer's wrestling gets him all kind of excited. He's turning into a therapist for afterlife. Very creepy. Now, I quite like this kind of creepy Jake the Snake thing he's doing.
What's he been doing, Rob?
he's basically doing this thing, I think, Jake, where he's trying to be sleazy and kind of weird and a bit kind of offbeat, which I think is good, which I think people are forgetting that Jake the Snake always was. Jake the Snake always had that character that was like a kind of, you imagine he'd stick a wee knife into your ribs. Mm-hmm. You imagine he'd be sleazing up to your wife or your, you know what I mean? He was a bad guy. Right. Ian Milne wants to bury Lana's reaction to MVP becoming Bobby Lashley's new manager and put all the entertainment that the Viking Raiders and Street Profits gave us. I love wacky shit like that. It was hilarious. Street Profits are great, I think. John's making a face now. What, are you all right?
Sorry, I just hate this whole thing with the Viking Raiders and Street Profits. Yeah, last week they were playing basketball. This week they were axe throwing. Two big guys who are like the Viking Raiders who should be getting put over loads of people, and they've got this, them doing this comedy stuff. Street Profits I get, but the Viking Raiders... Just,
I agree with you there if they're making them look like this, because they were badasses in the indie scene, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's a bit Goldberg putting on a Goldust wig, that kind of idea.
I feel like they don't, the WWE, the modern WWE...
You don't know what they're doing?
No, I kind of feel like the modern WWE just don't know what to do with these big, good old-fashioned big hosses, like these big warlord barbarian type big guys that they used to be able to use well. I think they don't really know how to use them anymore, you know what I mean?
Why can't they just... Fucking squash a tag team, squash a fucking couple of local guys, and you know
they just
mean?
Don't. They just don't know what.
Don't know what they're doing.
They don't know what to do with them. Stephen wants to put over Best Friends interview with Grado and ICW On Demand is just brilliant.
Oh, that was a good. I totally didn't want to do that, but they ended up offering me a bit of cash. Didn't
it? Stephen wants to bury the Marks podcast, getting the likes of Riddle, Christian, etc. on it. Because the B show should never get in the top draws. Finger out your hoop, Grado. Get a honky tonk man on. Now, here's the thing: we don't need the big guests because
wait to the mother. That makes it here.
We are the big guests. Me and Grado are the big guests.
Riddle? Who the fuck?
Riddle should be fucking interviewing me. As far as I'm concerned. Fuck me. Steve put over Impact Wrestling for still putting on quality TV, and bury Impact Wrestling for not being called TNA anymore and teasing to be bringing back the old TNA Heavyweight Championship.
How do you feel
about that, Grado?
Well, I've been speaking to the guy, I've been speaking to one of the producers, working Tompkins, and he's always honest, right? And he's saying that the TV that they're putting out during this lockdown is some of the best TV they've put out in years. So I'm choking to see some of that. Apparently,
right, I'm going to watch it this weekend. I'll watch it this weekend.
I think I'll watch it as well.
Okay.
But do you know what? I think he's got a point. See this Impact shite. It's got to go back to TNA. I mean, everybody refers to it. There was somebody, a guy, Zack Ryder, who's just been put on it, then they've seen he's talking about going back to TNA. And he did, see that Impact? I think that's got a worse stigma than what Impact has. Impact Wrestling has a worse stigma to it than TNA. It's got a bigger stink.
For me, there is nothing more important in wrestling, I think, than history.
Yep.
The reason why, you know, if a promotion has history, it's the hardest thing for a promotion to deal with. It's the fact that when a new promotion starts up, they don't have history. The beautiful thing that NWA have, the new NWA Power, you watch that and they have all the history of NWA to lean on, right, is their thing. It's madness that Impact is called Impact and it isn't TNA. Because regardless of what you think of TNA, TNA had some high, high moments.
The best stuff was TNA.
Some great, great wrestlers moving through it. Guys like Grado moving through it as well.
I'm telling you, it was a fucking great promotion until the day I signed. Trust me, that's the God's honest truth.
But they should be.
The day I signed, they lost the fucking Spike TV deal.
they should be called TNA again, I think.
Right.
Craigski wants to put our Undertaker, the Last Ride documentary series. It looks like it could be WWE's best documentary series to date. And Goshi didn't watch any wrestling this week, so just wants to bury Rab for being a Tim and put our Grado for being a Rangers man. Couldn't think of fuck all else, lads. Goshy, listen, let me tell you something. Right, I want to talk a wee bit about, just give me 1 second to talk about this whole...
You've got 1 second.
Goshy burying me for being a Tim here, right?
Right.
This is what I'm fucking wanting to hear. What makes sports special is rivalries, passionate rivalries between, and we should have nae fear. This is it, it's over. We should have nae fear now. It's beautiful. I love the fact that Goshy's got in touch to bury me for being a Tim. Quite fucking right, man. Bury me, and I bury you, Goshy, for being a Rangers man. And you know what? At the end up, doesn't matter, doesn't mean anything, right? But and when it comes down to the fucking sport, when it comes to the fight of Celtic, nine in a row again, twice. You know what I mean?
As lockdown continues, it's time to get more content for Wrestling Daft by signing up to our Patreon. Patreon.com/WrestlingDaft. Hello to some of our new patrons. Some, we've got one, Lucy L. Welcome to the squad. We have set up 3 tiers which you can choose to get involved at patreon.com/WrestlingDaft. Tier 1, when you sign up for that, you're the Cruiserweight Champion, which is $4, which is about £3 a month. On that, you get a patron-only chat community, ad-free versions of all episodes, a full unedited version, random bonus content, the video version of the March podcast, and you can vote on what you want to see listed in the list of Wrestling Daft. Tier 2, you're the Intercontinental Champion, which is about £7.70 a month. You get everything that's in Tier 1, as well as a video version of the podcast each week, a bonus episode each month, and you can join our Patreon pay-per-view parties. In fact, the March are going to have one this weekend for Double or Nothing. Is Double or Nothing this weekend?
Aye.
Whereabouts?
They'll just do it
empty. Aye, right, it would have been in Vegas. Tier 3, the World Heavyweight Champion, which is $20 a month, which is about £15, and you get everything in the previous tiers, as well as free tickets to every live event once they're allowed to go out of self-isolation again, as long as you're signed up, and you get a free Wrestling Daft t-shirt of your choice, but you must sign up for a minimum of 3 months, plus you get to feature on one of our shows as one of our members. So if you fancy that and becoming one of our patrons, sign up now at patreon.com/WrestlingDaft, as we would love to welcome you to the roster.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You just made the list!
It's time for our list of Wrestling Daft. It's the best moments in AEW we're talking about. We asked for you guys to vote. Remember, you can vote, by the way, for which list we do by signing up for $4 a month at patreon.com/WrestlingDaft. However, this week, John fucked up the vote as he put, as the options, the greatest Intercontinental Champs up against the best moments in AEW. And we've already done the greatest Intercontinental Champs. For some reason, John, with his encyclopedic knowledge of podcasts and shows that we've done has somehow forgotten that we've already covered that. So it's now the best moments in AEW, and I am going to do my top three moments in AEW history so far. Number three is going to be, it's very predictable, I'm sorry that it's this, but it has to be Chris Jericho's backstage, a little bit of the bubbly.
Look at this. Look at that. Cheap salami. That's what Chris Jericho gets. Bunch of crap. Look, olives. Look at this. Look. These olives are nothing in there. And you look at this one. There's a little guy in there. Can't even get proper olives, can you? What else we got? Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
It had that crossover appeal. It was exactly what AEW needed at that time. Cometh the hour, cometh the man. Chris Jericho stepped up, did a bit of offbeat promo stuff that caught on like wildfire across social media, made that crossover thing. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And I had a lot of people going, where is this? What show is this? What is that? It's AEW, which is great, right? Right, that's what you're one. That's what you're one. By the way, if you want to hear an interview with Chris Jericho, then you just check out the first episode of Wrestling Daft. We interviewed the great man himself.
No, that's probably, now that you're getting me thinking, that the champion, well, he's brilliant, Jericho, isn't he? He knows what he's doing.
He knows his stuff, mate. My number two. Well, my number two has to be Chris Jericho again. Cutting a promo on Matt Hardy's drone.
I'm glad you showed up, guard.
Guard.
Because I got a couple things I want to tell you. First of all, I don't like you. I've never liked you. I don't like what you stand for. I don't like your beliefs. I think you're arrogant. I don't appreciate your political views on social media. You're a piece of shit, Vanguard.
I get buried as well. I like that.
That get buried. See, for me, see these moments. These are the things I show people when I want to talk about why I love wrestling, right? There's two hangs on this list, right? Here's the alpha and the omega. Here's the two hangs, right? Things like that that are just could only happen in wrestling. Chris Jericho standing there in the middle of the ring talking to a fucking remote-controlled drone, shouting at the fucking drone, telling it to come back when it flies away from him and all that. I loved that. I loved that. And I love the fact that Jericho can do comedy so well, can deadpan hang so well, can act so well. He's a very talented guy. And I love that more. Just the weirdness of it. The weirdness of it when you look at it out of context, that empty arena with a guy in a wrestling ring in the beautiful squared circle where anything can happen. Chris Jericho cutting a promo on a remote control drone.
And I love the bit where Matt Hardy went for side, from one bit of the arena to the other, and the head didn't miss that shite. It was good.
Love it, love it.
It was brilliant.
And my number one.
Can I guess it?
Yeah.
Cody versus Dustin Rhodes.
Cody versus Dustin.
Aye.
I don't need a partner. I don't need a friend. I need my older brother.
If you talk about the reason why you love wrestling, it's things like Jericho cutting a promo on that drone, and then on the other side of things, it's the true drama and the true romance of wrestling that is they two brothers going at it with each other in an incredible match that the crowd were completely invested in, that two guys just at their best, you know what I mean? Two guys who represent different periods in the history of wrestling as well, you know what I mean? And yet, you know, still up to each other's level. Two guys who, you know, you can't strip the context away from this. The context is these two guys are the sons of one of the greatest wrestling legends that ever set foot in the ring. So much history involved in it, and for them to deliver on that level in that match and that new promotion was just beautiful. Couldn't he write it?
And he also a lot of blood at the start of that match as well, didn't he, old Dustin?
Boy.
He can't go, by the way, see, for his age. And again, I was listening to Zack Ryder. I think it was Zack Ryder that was talking about he wrestled him 5 years ago, and he was blowing Zack Ryder up just by how hard he works, fucking running about that ring. Man, he's fucking something else, old Dustin.
That guy is... just one of the greatest of all time.
And he really, he is.
Without a doubt.
Talk about being underrated. Goldust. Well, you think how long he's been doing this for the natural to Goldust for years, and then that Seven promo, which is fucking funny, that's hilarious. He goes back and he does Golden Booker T, and when he come back at the Rumble, he's just shit hot.
And just, you know, remembering when he came back and came back as Goldust, and looking at him and being like, look how fucking slim he is.
Aye.
Look how fast he is.
Aye.
How fast he was. He was in the ring. You know, he could just go with anybody. He could go with anybody.
Remember watching him in a cage match in TNA against Bobby Roode, and it was a 2 out of 3 falls match inside the cage, and how the pace he was going at was something else. And I always think when something like Dustin Rhodes versus Cody was announced, I was like, what's he going to wear? Do you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah,
and it was cool what he wore, and it was brilliant when he fucking put the Goldust shit in a case a couple of weeks before the match and all that. It was fucking just, as a wrestling fan, you want to see that, didn't you? What's Goldust outside WWE? What's he like in a big arena on a different stage with a different company? And just, he's just cool, man.
But that guy has just, I think over the past, I would say over the past 5 years, has completely just solidified his legacy, you know what I mean? As one of the best of all time.
Definitely.
Let's see what the punters are saying. Westy is saying Matt Hardy and Jake the Snake arriving at AEW. Cody versus Dustin.
Well said, Louise.
Chris says Cody versus Dustin. Fantastic build-up with some insanely good promos. Great match, brutal and emotional. The match that put AEW on the map. Haggis Head Helmsley, the bit where Billy Gunn is twice the size of the kids they've got in the circus tricks who are there.
That's quite funny.
Oh, hey. Degenerate 69 says anytime MJF is on screen.
He's a star.
MJF's a breakout star, isn't he?
Yep.
Firesoul 86, other than Jericho fanning about and just being the best, Pac versus Omega, 30-minute Iron match was brilliant. Cody versus Dustin was superb as well. Andy calls up, ooh, a little bit of a bubbly. Yes, I do love a crossover moment like that. David Pallett, Lucha Brothers versus Adam Page and Kenny Omega from 19th of February. Oh, very specific pay-per-view quality match shown free on ITV.
It's metal as well, the AEW's on ITV, innit?
I know that is my...
If only you could get a wrestling company on ITV, yeah.
All right.
That'd be good to get that happen.
Nice, wouldn't it? I've heard the rain one or something. Jericho being touted as the youngest ever AEW champ.
That was
funny.
Fucking funny, man.
That was funny. Alex Shearer, the Escalera de la Muerta match at All Out was mental. Pentagon's Canadian Destroyer half a ladder through a table absolutely broke me. Didn't he just fucking break you, mate?
Mate, see seen Pentagon. What's his brother called again?
Felix,
man, I remember turning up at a show and seeing them before the match, just going our stuff, Rab, and going, holy fuck. I know even at one point, both of them were like stunning on the rope, kind of old school style, the way Undertaker on the rope. I think they were both stunning on the same rope, talking to one another, yapping away. That's the balance of both.
They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing.
They
know what they're doing. Dylan, Sammy being run over by Kenny and Matt Hardy in the golf cart is high on my list. That was a hell of a, that looked good. That, did you see
I never
that?
Saw that.
Check it out, it looked good. John says it has to be the Rhodes Brothers fight. What a story. Dustin still got it. Outside that, Matt Hardy's debut at the top of the arena was pretty cool. Just a shame there was no fans, because that would have blown the roof off. It's a fucking shame, isn't it? Because it would have blown the roof right off.
But as much sympathy I've got for Big Drew Mania, I have the same amount of sympathy for Matt Hardy, because the video that they released the week before, that is one of the single best things I've seen in wrestling. I knew you'd come.
You know what, we're always going to look back in these moments, though, these empty arenas, and it's going to be one of the weirdest periods in wrestling, and, you know, it's going to be unforgettable. Wrestling Daft merchandise. Now, folks, you can go Wrestling Daft yourself by sporting your very own Wrestling Daft t-shirt, hoodie, phone cover, or, grotesquely, a face mask. Get them at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. On there, you'll find designs such as I'm a Mark, I'm a Take the Bump for you, Chips, Cheese and Donner Meat, and I'm a wrestler too. And after the release of last week's controversial face mask, we're appeasing Grado this week as new. This is a big moment, guys, because this is a purchase I do approve of. You can now get a Wrestling Daft bum bag.
Fuck's sake, I've even fucking getting bum bags on.
So check out our range at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft now, or check out the links on our Facebook page or Twitter at Wrestling Daft. Now let's introduce one of the hottest prospects and UK wrestling. You know, I say Scottish wrestling. I don't want to talk about the UK, right? I want to talk about Scottish wrestling, right? But, you know, UK, yeah, it'll be UK wrestling. We're worldwide.
It did start the British wrestling phenomenon. Let's,
oh, it did,
let's
mate.
Let's be honest.
Hey, you fucking started it. Grado's
Big Daddy.
He is an hold on a minute, Kieran, keep the noise down now because we've not actually done your intro yet. So don't start doing your intro.
He's giggling at a big way. It's brilliant.
He's excited to be in the wrestling industry. He is an SWA X Division champion, PPW Tag Team champion. He's already had a match at the Hydro. He had one of the matches of the year with Leighton Buzzard in ICW. It's Shotgun Gilly. How you doing, Kieran? You alright?
Yeah. Not too bad yourself. Need to get you to do some intros for me, Radna.
Did you like that intro where I went like that? Shotgun.
They talk to Simon there, be like, Simon, Rab's beating you right now.
Hold on, what kind of shotgun is it? Right, let's work this one out. Is it a
double bar?
Pump action shotgun, right? Is he when you're visualising shotgun, right? Pump action shotgun, sawn off shotgun. One-handed sauna.
Your standard pump action, aye, none of that.
You want that kind of thing?
Ka-ching.
What is a sawn off shotgun?
It's just a circumcised shotgun.
They cut the barrel, mate. they cut the barrel, so you don't need to. You can wield it with one horn.
Right.
Okay, see, if you played more computer games, you'd fucking know that stuff. So, Kieran, tell us about how you. Who trained you? Who trained you?
Killian Dane, Nikki Cross, and now Mikey Whiplash.
Fantastic team of trainers there, by the way, Grado. What do you make of
that? Very similar to myself, to be honest with you. they are, that is. A demo years ago, class. I remember Demo's first training session. I remember him walking through the door. He wanted to be a copper and a wrestler. I totally remember it. I gave him his first match. It's absolutely horrific. But what he's went on today is nothing short of fucking amazing, man.
So much
talent. And same with Nicky and Mikey Whiplash. For all we're back in force, me and Mikey. You can't ask for a better trainer. Seriously, Rob, what's Mikey like? Mikey is really one of the most tuned-in trainers.
Courtney Isle of Dawn, my niece, speaks really happy, really highly of him, speaks really highly of Mike Whiplash and the training that he did. And you know, and I think we're pretty sure that Isle of Dawn had the same
background as me, yeah.
Pretty much, right? Killian Dane and Nicky and Mikey and, you know, that kind of SWA kind of mob.
I mean, look, I talk like, so Kieran, obviously your dad is known for owning some nightclubs in Glasgow, mm-hmm. and one of them particularly being the Garage nightclub, where obviously that's where I see
the Matrix. Yeah.
But obviously, I've completely thought you were maybe encouraged by it, but at least...
Absolutely not.
How did you get in touch with being a wrestler? What, did your father have any part to play in it?
Nothing really. I just kind of thought, I'm going to try it out. Just see how it goes. And then the first thing I looked up was just like obviously a wrestling school in Glasgow, and then Source Wrestling, or SWA at the time it was called, it just popped up and that was the first thing I clicked onto. And then that week, I think as soon as I found it, I went over, I got turned away because I think I was just late to class. And Joe Coffey, I remember this was back when like Source was like a part of like the gym, like City
Gym.
That's
right, it was so awkward that sometimes.
So I'd walk in and everyone's like doing the class and the warm up right now. And then Joe comes over and goes, "Oh, yeah, you're just here for the wrestling." They've kind of been about an hour already into it. So I'm like, shit. So, okay, can I come back later? Or just any other time? He said, "Yeah, these are dates. These are days that we're actually open."
Did you get attracted to lifting weights for the gym being connected next door, or did it take you a wee while to kind of, you know, train your body?
Kind of, yeah, because I was a very chubby. I was a very chubby Wayne when I first came in. I was very chubby at the time. So when I started seeing like everyone working out, I'm going, okay, I need to be a wee bit motivated here because there's big lads in this gym and I need to look the part here.
But
so then I obviously got on here to train.
If you do look at pictures from before or just when you started training, you did carry a wee bit of weight and now you're lean as fuck, aren't you?
I try my best. I try to stay away from two for Tuesdays.
So you've got a good diet. Have you got good? Because you know you always hear it. You can't out train a bad diet. You can't out train a bad diet. Is that true?
That's true. I've definitely been learning to get better with my diet. Like just trying to do. There's a whole like. There's different ways you can do like diets and that. But I follow like this one. It's gonna be like my gym nerd that I am and my fitness nerd. It's like an 80-20 diet, which is pretty much like. 80% of your day can be all good food, and 20% of your day can be, you know, whatever you want. But as long as you're maintaining your calories, you'll be good.
Jesus,
that sounds good to me, man. I didn't 80% have 80% of the nice stuff, like good, like carrots and that.
Yeah, like just healthy, just healthy
20% fucking kebabs. No, no.
Whatever you want, stuff in.
So that's 8 carrots and 2 kebabs, right? That's 88% and 20%, right? I could have 8 carrots and 2 kebabs in my 10 things I eat that day.
As long as you have a slice of broccoli in the end of it as well.
No worries, man. That sounds good to me.
I've totally got the wrong end of the stick with that diet. I'm doing it. 8%, eat whatever you want. But,
Rab, you, that's what it feels like for lockdown.
But Rab, you dropped weight and it stayed off. I remember going, he'll put that back on.
I dropped on an unbelievable amount of weight, though. I think it's easier when you... I mean, I was like, fucking... I'll try to think what weight I might have got up to. I think I might up to about 18 and a half stone.
You're joking?
I got up to, at one point, 18 and a half stone. And now I kind of hover around about kind of... I bounce around about 12, 13, 11 and a half, 12, 13. That's kind of... So I've never been back
up there. Never been bigger than that, yeah.
No, I've never been back up there again.
I'd love to be 12 stone. I remember one time turning up for TNA and I dropped a couple, because I'm a yo-yo, I'm up and down, mm-hmm. And Tommy Dreamer pulled my side and went, what are you doing? You're losing weight, you're killing your gimmick. And I was like, all right. I was like, what?
Yeah, no.
Cheers, mate.
But he was probably right.
Because it is weird, because I had big Easton Reese. He put me on like a ton of programs, so like I was looking at him going, yeah, this is the man I need to get me in shape here. So I went on like a mad cutting phase, and I was like ripped at one point, and all of a sudden it was like, okay, we want to put some weight on you now, just to make you look that a little bit bigger, because you're too small right now. You're too lean. Let's try and add a wee bit of muscle on you. And as soon as I done that, I felt bloated on my nut, and I thought I was ruined it up. So I just went on a binge. And I'm starting to come back to my semi.
But Kieran, man, fuck the diet. You are one talented boy. I swear to God, I remember seeing you for the first time, Motherwell Civic Centre. And I was doing a stare, and I was amazed at how good you were, because I hadn't seen you before. And I can't remember who you wrestled. It was a match at Motherwell. It was one of the, I think it was the first in the show.
Was it a lineup? Maybe
it could have been. It could have been. And he's done a wee bit of comedy, a wee bit of funny. He has as well. And I thought,
yeah.
I'm a bit jealous. He's fucking 10. He's funnier than me here.
I'm not next. What's happening?
But see that stuff that you, it was kind of like an old school British style.
Yeah,
kinda,
yeah. Hee-ha.
Who did you get that for?
It was mainly me. Just like just a wee bit of inspiration from the best of us.
No, but I can see that you've looked at the old world of sports stuff. Definitely. Did you get that for studying it, or was it Whippy that kind of put that?
It was just a mixture of, like, it was definitely Whippy had some influence in it, going, hey, see, for your size, what if you do the whole like Johnny Saint roll, mm-hmm. like where the guy rolls you around, what if you do like a whole headstand in the corner and do the whole, oh, he runs in, oh, put the foot up, just do some funny skits, and it's just stuff like that that gets like just audiences going, that's actually funny, that's different.
I love that stuff. I completely adore it. Do you know what he's talking about, Rab? He's talking about the curling up the ball and he rolling my boot.
I love that stuff.
Fuck, so you try to get me to do that?
One roll.
Listen, I tried.
That's why I do if I get in a real fight out in the street. I curl up in that ball.
We spoke about this before.
Even when the police turn up, they can't fucking get me out yet. The police are like, "Mon son, the baddie's away now, you can get up." Like, fucking tumbled about, rolled into the back of the van up a ramp.
That's so funny, man. So tell us a bit more about yourself, Kieran.
Well,
what's your aspect? What do you want to do next once the wrestling starts back? What's your aspirations? What do you want to do?
Just show off I'm not rusty. definitely just keep like trying to get to more companies, because I've only been to like a couple companies once. Like I went to Fight Club Pro about 2 years ago, and that's another company that I want to try and get myself known in for, because it's one of the bigger companies in England.
Is that what Trent Seven owns?
Yeah, that one. I've seen
some of that stuff. I'd have loved to have wrestled down there. Was it kind of ICW style in a pub?
Yeah, it's like mad like hangers. It was in like a whole warehouse, just a big warehouse, and you just have like crazy atmosphere. It's like proper, like it's like an indie. From an indie feel to it, but the audience is very like, it's almost Japanese, like very respectful, but they'll market it to the big moments.
Sorry, I just want to ask, do you want to do some, you want to work for more companies, wrestle in more promotions? What about WrestleZone up in Aberdeen?
That would definitely be another place I'd like to, like, I've been wanting to get there for a wee while now, but just nothing's came through.
Who would you like to wrestle? Who would you like to wrestle up in Aberdeen at WrestleZone?
I would say Crusher Crib.
He's the man.
Big Crusher.
Rob, why have you mentioned WrestleZone? That's blown my mind.
Why have I mentioned WrestleZone?
Aye.
Just because. WrestleZone, Bingo Balance.
It's like any other company.
I love to see WrestleZone up in Aberdeen. I love getting up there. Because see all the Aberdonians, they follow the storylines. They believe in Big Crusher. Scotty Swift is over up there. I love getting up there.
What about Progress? Would you like to do some?
Definitely Progress. That's one company I really want to get to. But as I think of it right now, it's mainly I just want to make my name known for ICW more. That's like the one place that I feel like I want to make home when all this pandemic just clears up. That's just the one place I want to just make my name for.
Right, so you want to become like an ICW favourite. You want to make who do you love at ICW? Who's the ones you look up to? Who's the ones you've looked up to over the years in ICW? Doesn't need to be somebody that's kind of current on the roster.
It would definitely be probably Demo. Dame will be one. Grail yourself would be one.
Cheers, mate.
Nikki would be another one. Lionheart was another one. And even guys like Stevie Boy, BT Gunn, the guys I was wrestling outside of ICW. So I just wanted to look at them and go, I really want to wrestle them from there instead of here, if you know what I mean.
Aye, aye. Is there anybody you don't want to wrestle? Is there anybody you're scared of wrestling?
He's scary.
Just anyone.
Grado, there's got to be something. There's no way. You've got to be somebody you're scared of wrestling.
I'm scared of a guy, and he comes for Leeds. I think his real name's Tyson something. I can't remember his wrestling name. He's a big 6 foot. What was his name? His name is Tyson for Leeds.
What about Caden Garrick? Do you fear to wrestle him?
Who's that?
You don't know who Caden Garrick is?
Caden Garrick, I'm good.
What about Mikey Vago?
You're dismissing. You're just sitting on the WrestleZone website, fucking calling it wrestling.
I was about to say, I recognise that name somehow.
You said fucking Bingo Balance 10 minutes ago.
I'm not on any fucking website. I'm just asking if you're intimidated. Like, if you're too feared.
Ask me about somebody else.
What about Sisto number 2?
Sisto number 2.
I'm wondering if somebody's looking at the pictures now, you cunt.
Oh, I mean, I see what you're saying though, Kieran. You want to just get about and wrestle as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. You must be at that point in your career now. You know what you're doing in the ring. You want to be just gone. You just want to be going about wrestling everybody, getting all the stories like Grado's got. Grado's got a million stories about a million different guys.
Right? Doing some stuff.
Like here's an example. Grado, tells a story about Dino Del Monte at WrestleZone.
He's in a black shirt.
Can he fucking go to Aberdeen? I can't go to Aberdeen anymore. This is a brilliant thing about having two monitors and you're doing your podcast. You just pull up a roster, okay. Have a wee scroll.
See, I can assure something, that's me fucking unbooked for WrestleZone. Fucking hell.
So, Kieran, this is the way you don't... I think it's quite helpful for you. You know, you've had Grado to look up to as a guy that you... You know, he's made a name for himself in Scottish wrestling, and then he's took that name. He's represented Scotland across the world, you know what I mean, wrestling. And now also you've got, you know, Grado doing this podcast, and it's a way to see how naughty, like, get yourself cancelled career-wise by saying things about people and stuff like that, and also, like, get yourself...
Take note.
losing all your bookings and all that by saying you don't fucking know guys and that.
Well, I'm in the bar business.
I feel like Grado is keeping... Your dad's running bars, not it? How's he finding the whole coronavirus thing? It must be stressful business-wise.
Yeah, it's definitely a stressful thing. And it's the fact they keep, like, saying, like... It's like everything else is getting open, construction and all that, getting open in bars, and I've just been left to, like, the very last minute. And I know why. It's pretty much because of the whole social distancing thing, but, yeah, it's been a bit of a struggle right now.
When do you think yourself that wrestling will be back? When do you see yourself getting back in the ring?
I mean, I'm hoping by like July time. July, maybe like late June. June, I'm saying. I know.
Would you think, Grado?
I'm fucking think. Well, what was the last show we done, Kieran?
I'm sure it was your one, yeah.
Aye. And I feel as if that could be the very last show of the year. I don't mean to put a damper on stuff, but it could very well be. I think you have a fat chance it'd be July, old boy.
Yeah. It's a shame. It's an absolute shame.
Like chance it'll be July, old boy. Beautiful.
I would not be surprised if it gets pushed to like September. I would not be surprised. Even to the end of the year,
I'd say run about the Rumble.
How are you keeping yourself out? Are you doing anything to keep yourself ready? Are you doing any drills? Are you doing any drills in the kitchen?
Just flipping pancakes constantly. It's getting my arms working. It's arm day for me. Just looking up like a ton of like workout programs on like YouTube and that. That's have been like my savior at this rate. Just making sure that I'm eating healthy. Making sure that I'm not having two for Tuesdays every week.
See, you've met this is twice you've mentioned two for Tuesdays. What's that, makes me think that you've
Domino's
fucking.
Domino's man keep texting me dirty messages, and I'm like, yeah.
So, Kieran, listen, thanks so much for coming. What we want to do on this show, right? This is what I want to do on this show. We've had a couple of young guys on. They'll be honest, it's usually fucking old guys that are past it, right? We have on this show to interview, right? It's usually people whose careers are kind of on the road out. We don't tell them that, though. We kind of kid on, they're still doing stuff, not that, and we kind of go, that's brilliant, what are you hoping to do next year? Not, but we're all kind of thinking, you're fucking done, mate, right? You're on the road up, you're still on that ascent. Will you drop in regularly and let us know, like, once the wrestling's back happening again, will you drop in on the regular and just let us know how you're doing?
Definitely. We'll
call it the Kieran catch-up. Catch-up with a K. Kieran Kelly catch-up, the KKK.
You don't know how many times I've had that one.
we'll just the Kieran Kelly catch-up, we'll call it, and we'll just check in on how you're doing.
Let's get a hold of him in July and see if he's wrestling in front of a crowd.
Let's do that. This is what we do. We'll get you in July and we'll ask you how your match was, right?
Like, the atmosphere was brilliant, man. It was dead.
Put your back, Gordon.
Well, thanks for jumping on, man, to chat to us, and get your ass in that gaming chair, man. It looks comfy in there, by the way.
It's comfy.
Wish I had one of them.
Tidy. Well, Kieran, before he goes, I just want to tell him that what a talent this boy has got. And I think people listening, if you haven't heard of Kieran Kelly, there might be some fans in Azerbaijan. Name another country, Rab?
Bolivia.
Bolivia. If there's any fans for Bolivia that know aware of Kieran, is there any match that you'd like to promote Kieran that's on, maybe on YouTube, that you would say, have a look at that, that's me? Or any kind of highlight videos?
Definitely on my highlight video, just Kieran Kelly highlight reel 2019.
Check that out, boys. Was that made by Scott Reed at ICW?
Yes.
Right, then I know that's going to be an absolute cracker. So everybody that's listening, watching, type in Kieran Kelly highlight video and you see the talent this boy's got.
That's why we're doing the Kieran Kelly catch-up.
Correct.
Okay.
Any closing words, Kieran, for the gang?
It's just thank you guys for having me on. I've always wanted to be on your show. I've been listening to it ever since the first episode.
That's amazing, Rob. That's nice. You'll definitely be on in July.
Thank you. Can you hear the crowd? Can you hear them shouting my name?
Right, that's it for this week's show, where we interviewed Kieran Kelly.
So, folks, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, or get us in wherever you get your podcasts. But just reviews and stuff like that, it does with algorithms, algorithms, right? Plus, remember, we now go twice a week. You can catch us on a Friday, and you can get the Marks podcast on a Tuesday. And, you know, let's be honest here, these boys know what they're talking about. That's where the real kind of wrestling chat happens. They all talk about, like, how would we book this and all that, and how would you do, and what do you think of this and all that, and the interview. Christian and all that, and interview them.
We had Leo Rush on this week.
Did you really?
Leo Rush on.
So you can hear an interview. You hear interviews with all sorts on that Marks podcast as well. So it's no just about. But if you want to just hear the boys, man, me and Grado, man.
Yeah, boys.
See, we're real. See on the Marks podcast, they kind of just work together. They're not actual pals. Me and Grado are actual pals in real life.
You go on the telly, man.
It's a different vibe. They don't like each other on the Marks podcast. They don't like each other on Marks podcast, right? But we. we like. Also, remember, get on our Patreon, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft, to check out the video version. And why not buy yourself a t-shirt? Fuck that, man. Buy yourself a bum bag.
Get a bum bag, man. Everything. Put everything in it. Your passport, travels checks, chuggy.
Why not buy two bum bags? Two bum bags. One for your bum, one for your front bum, two, one for fanny and a bum, fanny pack and a bum bag.
And one for in your neck. Like Bubba Ray looming on the tag titles.
Get a spare one for a bum bag and a pole match and reenact Grado and Eugene's fantastic match that made Vince Russo say, what did they say, Grado?
I got tears in my eyes, bro. I got tears in my eyes.
That's great, man. That sounds just really like him. We need to try and get Vince Russo on this show. Vince Russo would come on this show.
Russo would come on, definitely.
We need to get Russo on. Don't fucking tell him not to go on the Marks podcast.
No. In fact, the Marks should come to us first and go, right, we've got access to such and such. Do you want them? Do you think they should do that?
Nah.
Just let them do their own hanger.
Why would we want to talk to Leo Rush, really?
Or Matt Riddle? Fuck it, man. I'd lose my patience, man. Thanks, I've got my MacBook up, I'd fucking slam it down in anger, go down the stairs and kick the dog.
I'd go like that, Matt Riddle. Have you got fucking shoes on? You better have fucking shoes on, you cunt. You're fucking idiot. Fucking dirty.
Gonna hurt your toes, mate.
Fucking barefooted bastard.
Is this karate, you fucking
Goldberg
idiot.
Fucking spears your head off, you fucking wank.
He's no your bro.
Thanks for listening to Wrestling Daft.
Sorry, mate.
Up yourself. That's not your catchphrase. Up yourself. It's yourself.
Up that odd.
Up this.
Love.
That's what
love.
We should have as our joint catchphrase. Up yourself.
Up yourself. Up yourself.
Up yourself.
Up yourself. Up yourself. That'll be the next t-shirt then, Sultan. Audio Frontier.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.